Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. I'm Scott Fong. Special welcome to our new viewers at our new time slot in St. Louis. We'll be every week at 9 a.m. just after George Stephanopoulos. A lot of times we have a special guest to start the show, but I thought I'd give you an insight into how we do things. For the second part, it's our opinion maker panel, Jeff Rorta, Television Zone. Your chest has to be perched out. You should be so proud. The business manager for the local St. Louis City Police Union. You finally got residency done. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a long road. We're thrilled.
Representative Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Jefferson County. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks
Stop
so
the mask. So right now, if you're watching this on Twitter, YouTube, whatever, and you're walking through like the schnooks in Festus, and you're not wearing a mask, it's because of you.
Well, it's because the Jefferson County Health Board did not follow the proper sunshine laws and procedures. They've had 6.5 months of the pandemic. If they decide that it's important to have a mask mandate in place, they've got the authority to do it. They've got to follow the law just like everybody else.
So you and Sheriff Marshak never have to buy another beer at Bees and Peely, right? You're good.
That's the plan, yeah.
Greg Keller, the best Twitter account. You've totally passed Mazur. You just have.
Oh, thank you.
Just spiked the ball. The head of the Yeezus for President movement, Mr. Kanye West of Missouri. Glad to have you back, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, I hear it is so hilarious for me. I see the different media outlets making, you know, this huge hatred thing to you. It's every piece. You know it's going to be hit piece. I'm sure when you see the reporter, it's like, oh, they're going to hate me. So tell me, what is the, give folks that are watching this, like the 50,000 foot view of what you're doing with Kanye West for president.
Helping Kanye get on the ballot as an independent presidential candidate. He's on in roughly 15 states now, litigation pending in about 5 others. What he's really facing is just a deeply concerted effort by the media and the National Democrat Party to keep a qualified black man off the ballot. It's pretty shameful.
And so Black Lives Matter until they run for president and can hurt the candidate they want to win.
That's right. So we're going to push it as far as it goes because Kanye, like everyone else, should have access to the ballot.
Give me what he's like. You've actually spent some time with him, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic. You know, genius. I mean, you know, what you would expect of someone who's been hugely successful in 3 or 4 different, you know, industries and areas of life, and just a fantastic person. If your viewers haven't seen it, I would encourage them to go look at the interview he did this week with Nick Cannon talking about pro-life, other issues of importance to people of faith. I'm proud to work for him.
I can't go back to the Sawdust Saloon this weekend in West Butler County if I don't ask you. Have you met Kim yet? The future first lady.
I have not, no.
When you do, you got to text me that.
Oh, you'll be the first to know.
Let's talk about special session. There's been a special session in Jefferson City. It's went on for, I don't even know,
years,
a long time, yeah. Noah, I think, floated in the ark less time than this special session went on. You've been a big part of that. When this call was announced, there was like, let's talk about the first call. There was some stuff that nobody really, I don't think, knew what it was unless you were in your field or a prosecutor. But there was one thing that everybody understood. It was residency. Currently in the city of St. Louis, to be a police officer, you have to live inside the city. And to the rest of the state, St. Louis is like Herculaneum to Wentzville. And I'm sure Afton exists, and it's a wonderful place. But to the rest of us out in West Plains and stuff, we don't know this. The city of St. Louis is a very small footprint right on the river. As the crow flies, it's about 5 miles from the stadium, 10 miles
right,
radius or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Tell us what that means for you guys not being able to hire officers.
Well, I mean, it's been a tremendous obstacle to recruitment and retention, too. You know, we have 7 and out, but, you know, when you're hiring young police officers who are starting a family and wanting to send them to school, and when you don't pay them squat, you know, they're left with little choice. They can either send their kids to a struggling school district that places them in danger a lot of times, or they can spend half their paycheck on private school. And you know, when every police department around us pays more and lets you live wherever you want and has good school districts to offer, I mean, the competition is stiff.
Representative, I mean, I don't know that a regular person could quite understand all the things you were talking about special session. Police residency, when the city clearly has a crime problem, clearly is short officers, can actually after Prop P could hire, they have the money to hire the officers. It's just a matter of they couldn't get people to take the jobs. This is like a common sense thing I think everybody can understand.
Yeah, and when you listen to the testimony of officer after officer after officer, they say they love their jobs, they love working in you know, internationally accredited agency, they love the work, but they've got families, they've got kids with special needs in some cases, and they can't have access to the special school district. They've got to get into a school that can take care of their families. And when you're talking about living 7 miles away from where you report to work instead of 3 miles away, it's not like it's really impacting the community policing aspect.
Carl, I've watched you from the Showman Institute talk about this. This is one of those things that I think people are surprised exist. Mm-hmm. And as a common sense thing, you know, I don't know that any of the rest of this stuff will impact crime in St. Louis, but moving this major barrier to hiring officers like now, that makes some sense.
And it's similar to what you see Republicans and conservatives and libertarians in the Missouri legislature doing, which is with licensing reciprocity and things like that, trying to remove barriers for working families to live and work where they want to live and work. And to your point, I think, you know, your average Missourian looks at this and says, oh, wait a second, why do they have to live where? These people are doing some of the most important work in America today, in one of America's most violent cities. I think your average Missourian says, let these guys and gals live wherever they want to live. God bless them.
Javor, I had to be seriously though, this has been an issue since I came to the Capitol with Mark Richardson back in the day. This issue was discussed and debated and never got done. Hat tip to yourself, to Doug Leiber, the governor, to, I know Ron Hicks worked on this, a lot of House members. I mean, this is, I guess it's got one more box to check this week, but I assume that happens, right?
I can't imagine that it doesn't. I mean, it's got support from the Democratic mayor, from Jimmy Edwards, who's in charge of public safety in St. Louis City. It is really broad-based bipartisan support, and I think this last session it would have gotten done but for COVID and for the slowdown that happened there, so it makes sense. I'm glad the governor called us back. Let's try to do what we can to stop the bloodshed.
So it starts with police residency, there's some other stuff in the middle, then we get to some concurrent jurisdiction for the police officer on the street. All the other stuff is just a thumbs up, right? These are things that are going to help,
right? Yeah,
good. Let's get to current jurisdiction. That means that right now, if someone is murdered in the city of St. Louis, the circuit attorney's office, the police officers that you represent, they, let's say they arrest somebody, they send that to the circuit attorney's office. Currently, some of those aren't getting prosecuted at a rate or a level that they find, many people find acceptable. So this would allow the attorney general to come in if a case isn't charged within 90 days and apply to a judge, I guess, to try to take the case over. And then he would prosecute it?
He would. I don't think he has to apply to the judge. He has the same authority then that the prosecutor has. You know, just the same authority the special prosecutor would have to take the case to a grand jury or to charge from a complaint. And, you know, St. Louisans elected a prosecutor to do a job, and she's just not doing it. And the legislature and cops and citizens are tired of it. And we're not pushing this. It's the Attorney General, and we're thankful that he is. But this would be a game changer in a city where we're turning murderers loose on almost a daily basis.
Right, Elizabeth Coleman, let me give the other side of this. She didn't just get elected; she got reelected a couple weeks ago by a huge majority. There are folks that worry that there's been a Democrat attorney general since 1992, except for the last 40 months. Mm-hmm. What happens when a Peter Meredith is elected, honestly, but he's for gun control.
Sure.
And says, you can't have that AR-15 anymore in Butler County. I'm going to take over this case, and I'm going to say you can't have it.
Well, knowing Peter personally, I can't imagine him getting elected across the state. But I will say,
there was a time in the state of Missouri you couldn't have alleged Josh Hawley and Aaron Tree holding this office.
Fair enough. Not to be one to correct Jeff, I think Mr. Rorda knows his facts, but he was talking about the bill as it was filed. There's been a lot of common sense things that have been put on place in the Senate to make sure that this doesn't get abused. It has to be referred by the law enforcement community to the Attorney General's office.
That's probably not going to be hard to do.
I don't think so, not when they see people that they're working really hard to get off the streets to be set. It has to be something that she hasn't touched for a period of 60 days, so she's taken a pass at prosecuting these murderers who've been put out onto the streets. And there's a sunshine provision for 3 years. So when you put all of that together, there's a lot of people who are saying, listen, St. Louis is the economic engine of the state. What happens in St. Louis matters to West Butler County. It certainly matters to Jefferson County. And the crime problem is bleeding into all of our collar communities. And it's really terrorizing the people in the city of St. Louis and the region. And we've had 193 people who've died this year in the city of St. Louis that were murdered. And when you think about the broad scale and the death that that has wrought, and we don't have justice for the victims of those families, you look somebody in the eye and you say, I'm sorry, she won in a landslide and is abdicating all of her responsibility, that's going to be in some way an argument to people who lost their four-year-old child who got shot. I have a really hard time with that. At some point you have to say, if you're not going to do the job, we have to have somebody who will.
Greg Keller's up the politics of this. I mean, I don't see how this helps Eric Schmidt at all. I mean, these are not easy cases. This is not an easy jurisdiction to get murder convictions, comparatively speaking. Many of the people in the community where these murders happen do not just instinctively want to tell the cops a full story about everything going on. There's not a lot of trust there. I've asked him personally. I don't see the politics of this. I'm not sure that this isn't the rare instance where somebody's doing something because they actually believe it could help something.
Yeah, I think I disagree with you a little bit on this. I think that given everything that your average Missourian and average American is seeing on the news today with Antifa, Democrat-funded shock troops of paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party, really, burning American cities to the ground, coast to coast, I think law and order is a winning issue for Republicans. I think Missourians and voters writ large are starting to realize that the Democrat Party simply cannot govern. And where they do, whether it's Portland, whether it's St. Louis City, what you're seeing is, you know, more or less chaos. And I think your average Missourian is going to look at this issue and is going to say, we want these people, we want murderers put to jail, put in jail. And if this prosecutor, Kim Gardner, is going to continue to slough off her responsibilities and refuse to charge these people, then we want someone in there who's going to do so. Now, I don't disagree that the attorney general could get himself into a difficult case here.
What if you lose these cases?
Here or there. Well,
there's going to be a media that's going to be just thrilled. The first time Eric Schmidt's office loses one of these cases, you're going to, the first conviction may be on page 5. The first acquittal or hung jury is going to be on page 1.
Sure, but remember, federal prosecutors, for instance, they get a 90% conviction rate. Why? Because they only take on the cases that they know that they can win. And I would imagine the attorney general, he's
Friend Roger Stone would disagree, but okay.
He's no fool. He's no fool. I think you're going to see him take on cases that they have strong reason to believe that they can win. And the good news from their perspective is that when the St. Louis County prosecutor isn't prosecuting anyone, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit there from which to choose.
The guy whose name's been, ears have probably been ringing very loudly this week, Rex Singfield, Travis Brown, they had an idea that would have took care of this, right? If you had to put the city back in the county, you would have solved this problem and several others.
As in all matters of public policy, Rex has been right all along. The way that he's been treated by the Democrat Party establishment and the Post-Dispatch is absolutely disgraceful.
Joe, well, give me an honest prediction. You know, there is nothing you're not, if not a straight shooter, what you think. I think the residency thing, most folks in the gallery of the Senate thought, okay, that's got a chance to actually reduce crime. This other stuff's too complicated for me to know. Do you believe that officers will bring more cases, will bring better cases, will be able to find a way to work with Eric Schmidt's office? My gut tells me, yes, Eric Schmidt, with the resources he has, probably can prosecute these murders more effectively. Will there be a better system after this gets going for your officers to go to him and actually find a resolution to these cases?
100%. I mean, it's
And to be fair, you weren't lobbying this. Your people weren't walking the halls wanting this. But now that it looks like it's an idea that's at least moved to the House, will this affect things?
Absolutely. It's analogous to what's happening with the U.S. Attorney's Office coming in and prosecuting about 700 gun cases in St. Louis. You got Kim Gardner saying we need more gun laws and blaming everything on a lack of gun laws, and she won't prosecute any gun offenders. So what's happened is the U.S. Attorney's Office said, hey, enough's enough. These are dangerous criminals. We have jurisdiction on felons in possession of firearms and other federal gun crimes. They've taken them on, and they've convicted, charged and convicted 700 dangerous criminals
in
America's deadliest.
They have more resources, right?
They do.
Federal system, you're just convicted from the start. So it's a little bit different system.
It is, but I mean, to Greg's point, there is a lot of low-hanging fruit, and I mean, these are some really horrible cases that are very appealing to a jury, even in St. Louis. Remember, D. Joyce Hayes and Jennifer Joyce were able to put these criminals in prison, and you know, there's plenty of cases out there that could be.
Last question, quick prediction, Greg Keller. This isn't done. We're acting like this is done. This is not done. The Missouri House of Representatives has to have their say on this. There's some real serious rumblings. They're not going to do this for reasons that local prosecutors hate this. They loathe it. They've come out guns a-blazing against this in rural counties all over the state. Does the House pass this?
I believe they do, although, of course, I'll defer to the representative.
We'll let her go last. What do you think? They pass this?
Yes, I think they pass it.
I don't know. There are significant factions within the majority party. So you have libertarians, you have federalists, you have all kinds of different views, even within our supermajority. And there's deep concerns about the you know, sort of the pendulum flows. And as you said, only in the last 40 months have we had a Republican attorney general. People think about that, and they're worried that that could politicize the office. Now, you know, Rob Vescovo, who's our speaker designee, he is going to be taking over soon. He's the current floor leader. He's expressed concerns that this doesn't apply statewide. And
as the current flows, I'd say the House just takes it up and passes it. Recent precedent, just they usually do. I tend to think the gentleman you just mentioned, one thing he has is guts. I think they may not.
Yeah, I just think
your hesitance makes me go no. We'll be right back with the segment. We'll stick around and talk a little politics with our panel here. But first, I want you to do me a favor. Go to showmissouri.com. We do the history of Missouri every county, every week. This week, we went down to Pemiscot County, and we talked to the new senator from the 25th, the absolute best district in the whole state of Missouri, Jason Bean, a cotton farmer. You're going to love him. We'll have him on the show before long. Learn all about how he got there. His daddy, Ott, was a state representative, a heck of a guy. Go to showmissouri.com. This is Missouri, one county at a time. We'll see you right back after this. Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics. Let's talk a little politics now. Greg Keller, governor's race. You are doing some work with, siding with Mike Parson, for sure, correct? Nicole Galloway, I view this race, when Trump does things like the post office, when people can't get their Amazon Prime in 2 days and he like takes credit for it, I think that's the kind of things it takes Trump from like a 12-point win to maybe a 8-to-10-point win. Mm. Where is that number at that Trump needs to get down to where Nicole Galloway could be competitive and win this thing?
Well, if you look at the polling that came out this week, I mean, every credible external poll in this race has been pretty much in lockstep with one another, which has shown the governor at 50%, maybe 52, 53, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Nicole Galloway in this poll that came out this week, I think was at 40, but virtually every other poll that's been run has shown her in the mid-30s. And breaking news this morning, Washington Free Beacon announcing that Nicole Galloway just got busted using taxpayer funds at the Missouri State Auditor's Office to talk about her abortion extremist platform. That's going to be a problem for her. It's one thing for Nicole Galloway to be a pro-abortion extremist, which she is, but I don't think Missourians are going to look too well on her using her office to talk about that.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I read it just as I was coming up the elevator. Mm-hmm. And to quote, bill yourself as the tax, you know, the watchdog for taxpayer dollars, while you're literally using taxpayer dollars outside of your constitutional authority. Number has stayed. She's been touting this $350 million that she's caught in waste, fraud, and abuse for the last year. So it's like, well, what have you been doing, Nicole, if that's the same number from last fall as it is this year? Mm-hmm. And I just think at some point people are going to realize that she started running in May of last year for this job, that she's wanting to be governor. She hasn't done a thing since then, mm-hmm. and she's using every ability and every resource she can to win the governor's race.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say when you talk about that, I mean, the governor did spend the last 6 weeks, maybe just six, maybe longer, changing the subject from COVID and kids going back to school to crime, which is an issue that I'm sure the old Polk County Sheriff likes to talk about. I've noticed Nicole Galloway doesn't speak too loudly on issues like that. Break it down. You're from Jefferson County. Well, I mean, from Jefferson to Butler County, Trump could get elected emperor where we're from. Where does he have to get down as a state, though, you mean, for her to have a chance to win this? I'm thinking it's five. He's got to win by it.
Yeah.
Biden's got to get to five.
This is a president who's sort of, you know, different than any other president we've had before. I mean, he's prone to acts of self-sabotage. And, you know, the post office is kind of the perfect. There's no political win there. And the handling of COVID has made him and Governor Parson more vulnerable than they ought to be. But I mean, there would have to continue to be some significant missteps for this race to get really, really close. And I don't know what those would be.
Trade your hat. You're a professional woman, law degree, lives in an area in Arnold, where that's where Nicole Galloway has to pick up votes. She has to do better than other people have done to win. What is a message a Democrat could pitch? Because, I mean, I don't view Nicole as an unsuccessful auditor. I think that most folks view her term as auditor as pretty successful. Now, if she's doing what this thing in Washington's alleging, maybe, I should only trust Washington, Missouri folks. But what would she have to do to win, maybe not you, but your neighbors?
Yeah, it's really hard to think of a path forward while the crime rates are continuing to rise. Yeah. I think that as long as that's in place, she's been, you know, missing the boat on having a plan for kids going back to school. Mm. If you talk to suburban moms in the last month, we are all just worried about how are we going to keep working and get our kids the education. Mm. And is the school going to go back? And if they go back, do they stay back? And do I buy new shoes for the soccer, or is there not going to be soccer? And, you know, she doesn't have a plan. She has a lot of arrows. That's the benefit of running against an incumbent, is you get to throw stones and you don't have to have any plan on your own. But But at some point, people are going to say, I just, it's very hard for me to think that people are going, in, at least in my community, professional women, to have her resonate with her enough to switch course.
I just, Greg, go this politically speaking, though. I mean, I've always felt like when there's this many people out taking the street to protest, there's something there. There's something to sit down and try to find out and try to learn from. There is a problem somewhere when that many of Governor Parson's constituents are out in the streets protesting something. However, I do think that you have a whole group of really West County St. Louis, South County St. Louis, kind of however you define that around here, where you go to high school type thing. They kind of are changing on guns. They're changing on abortion. I always thought everyone was solidly in one camp. There's certainly another side of those arguments now that didn't exist 10, 15 years ago. However, the one issue I think that is probably maybe helps Andrew Caney and Deb Lavender in West County is security. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think each day there's a protest on television or in the newspaper. That is a good day for the Republicans to win over the people that Nicole Galloway has to win over on health care and education.
I completely agree. I think that the message matrix is very much moving in the direction of Republicans. I think that this election is going to be decided by two things, and we're seeing this increasingly. First is that Democrats want to defund police. You're talking
about such a damaging statement for them.
Yeah. You're talking about voters in West County. Go ahead and poll defunding police in West St. Louis County, which is now pretty much the official position of the National Democrat Party. Let's see how that polls. And the other thing, too, to get back to the governor's race, is dealing with COVID. And I've been really surprised the extent to which Nicole Galloway and her campaign have really leaned into this idea that we should put both our economy and our schools on perpetual lockdowns. I understand that she feels that she needs to draw some sort of contrast with Governor Parson on this. I just don't think that saying that we need to shut down all of our businesses and keep our school kids out of school in perpetuity is a good position to be taking running statewide in Missouri.
If I was Nicole Galloway, I would say the DH happened on Governor Parson's watch, and why can you go to a Chiefs game and not a Cardinal game? But Representative, I mean, I think in 2018, I felt like Democrats were going to have a better year in Missouri, which is like you almost have to, right?
Yeah.
But then I saw Kavanaugh. And to me, defund the police may be the new Kavanaugh.
I agree entirely. So when I flipped a district that is 50-50, and I cannot overstate to you the shift that you would feel on the doors when the Kavanaugh hearings came about. Before that, there was a lot of just a huge disconnect between enthusiasm between the Democrats and the Republicans. And it's like everybody remembered why they were Republicans. They care about due process. And I feel the same thing is happening now. People remember why they are Republicans and why they want us to govern.
Jeff Rorta, you know, you've won tough districts in a place where Democrats have to do, they have to do how you've done in tough districts to win a statewide race. Jay Nixon knew that. Right. To me, the Republicans love to bash the media, but they should thank the reporter that took the picture of that defund the police painting in the Central West End. I mean, that's how the Republicans win these districts. You've won them. How does a Democrat go to the door and convince somebody that may be predisposed for the national mood to vote Republican to cast a vote for you?
Well, unless you're in the most urban area of the city, you have to run against your own party. And that's what it's become for Democrats.
Jay Nixon did in 12. People forget that.
Right.
Successfully.
Right. It's the only path to victory unless you're in an 80% Democratic district. And it's why the Democratic Party has become completely irrelevant.
Let me ask you the tougher question. Can a Democrat win a statewide race that doesn't adopt that Jay Nixon mold?
No, absolutely not. 100%
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, Nicole Galloway had a chance to do that. She didn't have to have a legislative voting record. But I think maybe she couldn't get the money to run a Jay Nixon
race. Well, that's just that she can't have, she's caught in a catch-22 in a state like Missouri, where the party's gotten so small that it's only a really small fraction that hold incredibly liberal views, trying to appeal to a broad base of people, but you can't have money to get that message out if you don't appeal to the donors and to the people who are funding all of those radical, you know, partial birth abortion type things. She's got to get the NARAL money or she can't go up on TV. Even if Missourians say, you know what, maybe they don't agree with 126, they think it went too far, but they don't agree with partial birth either. And so she's in a catch-22 where she's going to have a hard time getting the money she needs to get her message out and bucking the party to be able to win.
How long is it until the Democrats go back to a Scott Sifton or somebody like that? I mean, if you have a politician of that kind of a similar policy standpoint. I mean, every commercial of Scott Sifton's did it with him talking to cops. Whatever, healthcare, whatever, there was that shot of him in South County, and you could tell he was at a crime scene talking to cops. That Democrat is still could compete in this state.
I think the representative is exactly right. I think that statewide Missouri Democrats are caught in a real catch-22 because the people who fund and run their party now are the Cherokee Street Taliban,
Even when she's not on, you can hear Jane Duker.
Yeah, the terrorists who run Antifa. That's where the passion and the money for their candidates are. Someone like Nicole Galloway is in a very difficult position because that doesn't work statewide.
We're in a difficult position. We have a minute left, so I'll ask the person who knows Conway West the best at this panel, who won the week?
I'm going to say Mike Parson. I think he's going to cruise to victory.
Who won the week?
I think Charles Drury did. He's a community and business leader. He put his time, talent, and money to support those beliefs. And I think that when he met his maker this week, he was told good and faithful servant.
Never get kicked by the same mule twice, and other lessons from the University of Kelso, I think Peter Kinder told me. Great book. Who won the week?
I'm tempted to say Bob Woodward for staying relevant as a journalist for 50 years in an irrelevant business. But I got to say Donald Trump, he rallied and pulled in the FOP endorsement, which is the biggest endorsement he'll get in this election.
Big deal. I'm going to say somebody may help the page. I think the Post-Dispatch, the Kansas City Star, MSNBC, TMZ, the New York Times, all for their coverage of Memorial Day at the Lake. The Lake had a record year this year, and I think it's 100% due to the finger wagging. I will say city liberals wagging their fingers. Help Missouri, help the Lake, help everyone. We thank them. We thank you for joining us at our new time here at 9 o'clock. We'll be back here next week at 9 o'clock for This Week in Missouri Politics.